Thanks for letting me come this morning. Really fun to see a couple of familiar faces here. And fun to get to be at PCPC. I love your church. It's beautiful. How many of you guys would say you're a journaler? A few of you? Okay, I love to see it. How many of you, when I start to say, hey, we're going to do some exercises on journaling, you maybe sweat a little bit? Anybody? I love it. Okay. I'm not going to make you do anything really painful, but I am going to talk to you about a spiritual discipline that I personally think has lots of ramifications to change your life in a good way. I will first tell you a little bit about me, just so you know who's talking to you. I am as Cam said, I am currently a therapist. I have my private counseling practice. I was on staff at a church for 23 years as a women's director in various roles. So I have played the role of a shepherd and a counselor. My best friend from junior high would tell you that I've been a counselor since I was in seventh grade. She said, you were like Lucy, the doctor was always in, always counseling all of us, which my gosh, at 12, who can even imagine what I was counseling people with? But anyway, so I have journaling and counseling go hand in hand. So you're like, now some of you are sweating even more because you're like, oh my gosh, the therapist is in the room. She's going to read all my stuff. No, I'm not doing that. Although I do know you, I can see you. No, I really do believe, and pretty much with all of my clients have all of them journal because I know the benefit of getting in touch with your interior life. And that's really what I want you to hear today. Is journaling is an opportunity to reflect on your interior life. Now, we as Christians see the benefit of doing that in the Spirit of God. Like, we're not just analyzing the lint in our belly button, okay? Do you all know what I mean when I say that? Okay. We're not just doing it just to do it. You know, we're not out there being angsty and writing it in a journal and, you know, waxing on about whatever. I'm reflecting on my interior life in light of who God is, in light of what His Spirit is doing within me. That's why we journal. So that's just a broad statement. That said, I told you I was on staff. I've led a lot of people through their discipleship to Jesus. And I will say, in the early years of my life, I was taught to do all the spiritual disciplines, okay? Read the word, pray, fast, journal. What are the other ones? Yeah, memorize scripture. Good one. I was taught to do all of those things and truly engaged in those going, okay, that's what good Christians do. I'm going to do it. I'm going to do them the best that anybody's ever done them ever before. And that's a lot of what we do in our youth and the immaturity of our walk of in our faith in anything, really. When you think back to when you were in high school, ooh, I'm going to make straight A's. I'm going to be the best there is. I mean, you're not studying to become this really wise sage. You're studying because you want the straight A, right? Well, as you get older, as you hopefully, if you start to go into more education, I was talking to Chris Hatley, my friend, today. We're talking about he is in very high levels of education. And he's now not doing that just so he can get the A. Like, he's now at a point where he's like, no, this is changing me. Well, hopefully that's where these spiritual disciplines will lead you. You get to a point where early in your faith, it may just be, oh, I'm just doing this because somebody stood up on a stage and told me I should. My hope today is that you leave here going, oh no, I want to engage in this discipline because it's going to change me. It's going to help me know the heart of my Father more, meaning Heavenly Father, more than I do now. I'm going to know who He says I am when I engage in this discipline. That's the hope. So that said, I have been a journaler for over 33 years. In the early years, I can't even imagine some of the things that were in those journals. It's a little scary. I still have them. Everybody has instruction to burn them as soon as I die. Like, you don't need to know what's in there. Cam does not need to see things that are in my journal. There's a lot of things that Cam will inherit when I die, but that is not going to be one of them. I'm not Mother Teresa. Nobody's going to be wanting to read about me after I die. And so those were things that I was very honest with. But through the years, as I have continued in my discipleship to Jesus, they have become a place where I'm noticing what's going on in my interior life. I'm noticing and I'm naming, what's the state of my soul? What is the Holy Spirit doing in me that I want to pay attention to? And so for some of you, especially at this stage in your life, I am old, I will tell you. So you're talking to one of the dinosaurs of your faith. But I remember when I was your age. It hadn't been that long ago. And for a lot of you, there's just life is fast. You're going really fast, and you're moving fast, and you're thinking fast, and you're doing a lot of things, and you've got a whole lot of things on your plate. And so when I say to you, what is the state of your soul? A lot of you are like, what is she talking about? What kind of language is that? Is that some new form of Greek? No. No, and it's not just therapy language either, by the way. This is something where you're regularly paying attention. Hey, what's going on inside of me? Because as a believer, you have the Holy Spirit within you all the time. Jesus told us, I'm leaving so that I can give you the helper. That's what you need. You have His Spirit with you all the time. The Spirit, it tells us in Galatians, is always at work crying on our behalf. Always at work to will and to act according to His good deeds, says in Philippians. So if that's true, then there's stuff going on inside of me that the Lord is doing inside of me that would be beneficial for me to know, for me to pay attention to. Journaling is just an exercise to help you notice what those things are, okay? So before we jump into, I'm going to give you an exercise to do. But before we do that, I think it's helpful to define a couple of things. Number one, what a disciple actually means. I grew up with an idea of discipleship that was, hey, you go, you find this really old wise owl lady. She teaches you, you follow what she does, and then you become a really old wise lady too. That can be part of it. But when we put our faith in Jesus, that means we're saying, I want to be your disciple. To be a disciple in that day and age meant I'm going to do what He does. I'm going to say what He says. I'm going to stick to Him like Velcro. I want to follow His life, everything He does. And that's the way I'm going to do my life. So if I am living my life in Dallas, Texas, as a young 20, 30-year-old, professional, I am living every bit of my life as a disciple of Jesus the way Jesus would. Okay? Everybody tracking with me so far? Okay, great. That means the way I interact with people, the way I deal with my emotions, the way I deal with my interior life, my fears, my hopes, my dreams, I'm doing all of that in the same way that Jesus would. At least I'm trying, right? Through the work of the Holy Spirit in me. That's important when we start to think about our spiritual formation, how that happens, how we become more like Jesus is because of the work of the Holy Spirit in us. We're not even able to do this on our own. And y'all are like, okay, wait, aren't we talking about journaling? Why is she talking about spiritual formation? Because it goes hand in hand. Otherwise, it just becomes some exercise that you're doing that you check a box and go, look at me, I'm a good Christian. I journal every day, or I memorize scripture every day. You can have people who memorize scripture and are out there living not well, right? And so it's important when I start to encourage you in these things, why do we need to know the state of our soul? Why do I need to take time to journal? Why do I need to take time to write out prayer? Well, because while Jesus did not journal, as far as we know, he did regularly get away and spend time with his Father. He regularly got away and prayed. And so if Jesus was doing this as his disciple, it's important that I engage in that too. So that's why we're doing that. Journaling is just an exercise in reflection. And so, better said, it's a practice of paying attention to your life in the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's where we can reflect on the state of our soul. It's an opportunity for God to speak even through the most chance things in your life. I journal about everything, whether it's, you know, going out on a blind date, which I did a few weeks ago. I know, crazy. Or if it's, you know, man, I love this new restaurant. Lord, how fun that you create things that we get to enjoy. Like, I journal about everything. It doesn't have to be a specific, you know, diatribe on the Greek word for salvation, which I don't even know what that would be. He does, but I don't. So it's just a way for us to, the ongoing nature of journaling can just be a catalog into the soul of our lives with the Lord. It reveals our thoughts, our beliefs, our struggles, and it gives us an idea of even our joys as believers. And so to start us off, I am going to have you do an exercise at your table. It's called, What is the State of Your Soul? And some of you are like, are you kidding? I have no idea. You are putting me on the spot. It's okay. You can do this. I believe in you. I'm going to give you 1 minute to take a second and just think about it. I even gave you a page that has suggestions. You can look at the list and go, I don't know where my soul is. And so you could go, oh, I'm curious, or, oh, I feel apathetic. Okay. The whole goal is for you to just go through the process of thinking about it and sharing it out loud with somebody else. Now, we are talking about journaling, I realize. Saying out loud what you recognize is very similar to writing on a piece of paper what you're noticing, okay? Now, this is bonus material. They didn't ask me to give you this. You're welcome. We are terrible at listening. And so what I want you to practice when you do this is just at once everybody comes up with, hey, this is the state of my soul, everybody's going to go around and share the state of my soul today, this moment, is I'm curious, or I'm really tired, or, you know, I had a long week at work last week and I feel stressed. Nobody is needing to respond other than just saying, man, thanks for sharing that. That's it. That's being a good listener. We need to learn to start to attending to each other and what we're saying. That's all we're going to do. Okay? Everybody got it? We're going to do this in like 5 minutes. So take 30 seconds to a minute. Think about what the state of your soul is, and then somebody be really brave and start it, okay? Everybody tracking? Okay, ready, go. 5 minutes. One more minute, y'all. Okay, everybody, come back. And you're done. I'm sorry. I know that that was not enough time for everybody to get to share. I'm sure for some of you, you were like, oh, no, that was plenty. Thank you. The idea, well, I'll get into that. So for some of you, how many of you was that the first time in the last 5 or 7 days that you've even thought about, hey, what's going on in my interior life? How many of you was that? Yeah, a few of you? Yep. Good. Okay. Yeah, I used to live that way. I would go through my days where I was going so fast, so hard all the time that I couldn't have told you anything about my interior life. And what I can now say, looking backwards, is that was really costly. To not be aware of what's going on inside of you means you don't know how you are coming across to other people, because we are embodied souls. So your whatever's going on in your interior life, your emotional life, you may think that you're just squashing it down or it's not a big deal, but your body is holding all of that. And it can cause anxiety, it can lead to you being short with people, it can lead to not engaging in relationship in a full way where people feel known by you or you feel known by them. So you're not getting that the depth of intimate relationship. So not being aware of your interior life can be really costly. I used to work at a church where I was leading a lot of people, and I was not in touch with my interior life. And how that played out and how that was costly, I'm discipling others to follow Jesus, to be all in with him, and yet I was not being known in the same way I was calling them to be known. And so I was lonely. And it was a dark place in my interior life. So all that to say, my hope for you guys is you'll take this home and you'll just do a regular check-in. That's what journaling gives you the opportunity to do. I ask that of all my clients. When they come in, I'm like, okay, let's do a check-in. Where are you? How are you feeling physically? How are you feeling emotionally? And sometimes they don't know. And I'm like, that's okay. Well, this is your time. We'll take all the time we need. I want you to be able to articulate, this is where I am. Because I know that's going to be the best avenue for them to heal, is when they can start to notice what's going on in their interior life, right? So that's what journaling is going to give you. That's one of the many things that journaling is going to give you the opportunity to experience. Here's what journaling can be. It is an opportunity for self-discovery, greater self-knowledge, greater knowledge of God. It gives you an opportunity to record his provision for you in your life. It gives you an opportunity to write out prayer. So many of us struggle with saying prayer out loud, but if you're able to sit down and write your thoughts, that feels less intimidating. Write out your prayer. gives you an opportunity to meditate on scripture. I'm gonna give you some examples of what I do in my journal where I do both. I write out prayers, I meditate on scripture. It's an opportunity for lament and grief. We experience hard things in this life. And to hold those in again, to hold in whatever is impacting my heart has great effects. It has effects on my body. In those years when I was going so hard and so fast and doing way too many jobs, I was so anxious all the time because I was just holding everything that was going on around me and in my own personal life. And it caused a lot of physical anxiety. Anybody in here willing to say you've struggled with anxiety before? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. That is not fun. It allows us to process trauma. I have a friend right now who is 70 years old, 70. And she is just now looking at really complex trauma from her childhood. It is so overwhelming to her. And she sits down and she writes out poetry about these memories that she's having. And I'm watching the Lord take that poetry to bring calm in her anxiety as she is processing these really hard things. And so it gives you an opportunity to process hard things in your life. It's an insight into your growth. When I look back at my journal and I read the things that God was doing 10 years ago, 2 years ago, I'm like, wow, gosh, Lord, you have really changed my heart in ways I didn't even realize that I haven't thought about. It's going to stimulate accountability and authenticity. When I write down something that I want to be different, it puts in me this, okay, I've said that out loud now. I can no longer walk around with that frame of mind or that thought life or whatever it is that we confess in our journal. Here's what it's not. It's not, it shouldn't be, doesn't need to be. Sitting around, I've already said, and just self-analyzing the lint in your belly button forever. It's not a command. Jesus didn't have a journal, and so he didn't command us to journal. I say he didn't have a journal. I don't know. Maybe he did. We just don't know that he did, and he didn't command us to. It's not essential to your Christian life. There is many things that are essential. Journaling is not one of them. Expressing to the Lord how you feel, I think, is. But how you do that is, there's lots of leeway there, which I'm going to share with you today. And so it also is not legalistic. This is real important. In the Christian life, we have made a lot of the spiritual disciplines legalistic. And if you don't do them, then you're less than. Or if you haven't achieved this, then you're not as mature of a believer. That's baloney. And don't let people tell you that. Your maturity in Christ is how much you are willing to pursue him and make every area of your life look just like his. If you're doing that, you're doing fine. Don't let somebody make a specific action give you the label of maturity. That's what the Pharisees did. And I think we remember Jesus didn't have good things to say to them. It's not a goal to leave a legacy. I mean, for some of you, like Chris Hatley, probably, we will all be reading his journals after he dies because they're going to be amazing. Melissa Miller, nobody's going to want to read those. They're not pretty. Mother Teresa, God bless her. I doubt she anticipated people wanting to read her journals because after she died, they revealed she struggled with depression. She struggled with doubt. It caused all these, believers across the world, they got all in a knot. Oh my gosh, was Mother Teresa even a believer? Oh my gosh, yes, she just struggled. She was human. And so I am sure she was not anticipating people reading her journals. You don't need to worry about that either. This is for you to sit with the Lord to discover what he's doing inside of you, okay? So that said, why should we journal? Well, journal, and this is something that I have been on a little bit of a rant about for the last probably 3 to 4 years, as I am growing in my own understanding of how we change and what Jesus has actually called us to, I am of the opinion that in general, we all go way too fast. And so I am constantly encouraging people to slow down. And that doesn't mean that, you know, you sit at home, you never watch TV, you never go out with your friends. I'm not saying that. Jesus got a lot done for a man who had 3 years to get it done. He got a lot done. So he wasn't just sitting around eating bonbons. But he didn't do it in an internally fast way. I mean, if you look throughout the Gospels, you see over and over how many, at least 10 plus times where we were told he got away to go pray. He went up the mountain to go pray. He went and told his disciples, wait here while I go pray. The man knew how to slow down and pay attention and talk to his Father about what was going on in his life and the life of his disciples and the mission he had been called to. And so journaling is a means of slowing down. If you take even 5 minutes once a week, nobody even says you have to do it every day, and you just slow down for a minute and you assess, what is the state of my soul? Jesus, what's the work you're doing in my life right now? Where is the Holy Spirit nudging me? Man, that scripture I just read, God, that was, boy, you highlighted that. There are times when I'm reading scripture and one verse just pops off the page, like, you know, the Shekinah glory is shining on it. And I'm like, okay, I think I'm supposed to pay attention to that. And I'll journal about that verse. You can do that once a week. You can do that 3 times a week. You can do it once a month if you want to. But it's just an opportunity to slow down and pay attention. Another reason to journal is for your growth, your appreciation and celebration of him and the work he's doing through you. It's also a way to meditate on his voice that you read and hear as you read scripture. So often people will say, oh, I just don't hear from Jesus. And I'm like, well, how often have you been sitting with him? How often have you been reading what he said in his word? Let me be clear, his word is it's a book. It's not him. As one of my friends once told me, Melissa, God is not a Bible. And I'm like, I know. But I can hear his voice when I read his word. And so it's an opportunity for you to meditate on his voice. Journaling helps our nervous system and our interior, and how to know our interior life. Now, I could really geek out here and, as a therapist, go into a lot about our nervous system and how there's been so many studies that help us see that journaling helps us in our nervous system, but I probably don't have time because it's 10:30. And so I'm just going to give you a couple because it's cool. In my practice, I talk all the time about our nervous system. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I say fight or flight? Okay, good, because we've all experienced it. At some point in our life, we've all had some experience that created this response in us that was like, oh my gosh, I've got to get out of here right now. Or, oh, I don't know what to do, I'm just gonna freeze. I don't know how to respond to you. Like, this is such a funny story. My mom, back when President Bush was president, my mom, long time ago, was he and his wife's interior designer. So we would get invited to go to the White House Christmas parties. So cool. And the first time we went, I'm real simple. So I'm totally impressed. I'm not going to lie. I absolutely was fangirling as I was walking through the White House. And I'm like, I can't believe I'm at the White House. And then, you know, you get in this line and everybody's taking a picture with the president. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm getting ready to take a picture with the president. Well, I walk in, and he, of course, knows my mom. He's like, Mary Ann Smiley, oh my gosh, it's about time somebody came in here and made this White House look better. I'm so glad. You know, he's totally joking with her, and I'm like, oh my gosh, the president of the United States is joking with my mother. And I'm so freaked out about it. Like, I literally freeze. I had a freeze response. So I walk up to him and Mrs. Bush, and they're trying to talk to me, and I'm like, I mean, literally no words came out of my mouth. And I'm like, what is happening with me? I am a mature adult. I have a lot of words, y'all. And I mean, there was nothing. And I was a freeze response, okay? That's just what happens in our nervous system when we, now that's a funny example. Obviously, we've experienced experiences that were not funny and not great that causes freeze or flight or fight. Well, what we have found is journaling helps reduce the stress that in the center of your brain, which is called the amygdala. I'm not going to get into a bunch of biology here. I could because it's so cool. But your amygdala is where your fight or flight happens. Journaling helps calm that center down. Whoa. So when you are writing about your worries or you're writing about a really extreme experience you've had, or you go to work and you get griped out in front of all of your people by your boss and you feel ashamed, or you get rejected in front of a group of friends and you feel shame, when you go, you have a nervous system response to that. When you go and you journal about that, you're expressing your feelings in your journal, it helps calm that down. So cool. It's amazing the things that God has given us. So journaling is a means of God's grace in these areas. Another way that it helps our nervous system is it strengthens your prefrontal cortex. Again, I know, sorry, biology. That is the area of your brain. It's up here, okay? It's the area that's responsible for reflection, for planning, for emotional regulation. It becomes more engaged when you're journaling. And so it's forcing a cognitive process to help you regulate what you're thinking and the decisions you're making. And so it's just, it's a gift. So even if you're not journaling about scripture, just journaling about your interior life is helping your brain. Guys, it's just a win all the way around, okay? I've already told you how it can help you heal trauma. It integrates your fragmented memories from traumatic experiences. That's what my friend is experiencing right now. So for some of you, I know in a room this size, I could sit down with some of you and hear some really traumatic stories from your formative years. And I'm sorry, by the way. But I also know that expressing those out loud, either in a journal or to a trusted, non-judgmental, empathetic listener, you're going to be able to experience healing. And so journaling just gives you another opportunity for that, to experience a better life and a more free life. Don't we all want that? Yeah, I do. So all that said, there's two types of journaling. Expressive journaling that I've been talking about with emotional. This is what's going on in my life. This is the trauma that I've experienced. This is the feelings I have about going home for Thanksgiving and being with my family that kind of makes me a little crazy, or, you know, whatever. That's expressive journaling. Okay, that's really helpful. We've already talked about all the things that it does in helping you in your neurobiology. Then there's also gratitude journaling. Gratitude journaling is so great. It increases your serotonin and your dopamine. This is research-based. I'm not just making this up because I had to talk about it today, okay? Your serotonin and your dopamine, those are those hormones that are associated with motivation, with reward, with pleasure, that they help you feel better. And when you sit down, this is what's so amazing. When you sit down for 2 to 5 minutes a day, just 2 minutes, 2 minutes a day, and you write down three things that you're grateful for, studies have shown that within weeks that you have improvements in emotional regulation, in your immune function, and in your working memory. Like physically showing gratitude affects your physical health. That's amazing. When you do the other kind of journaling, the expressive journaling, it also has the same benefits. It strengthens your neural pathways. It shifts your brains to scan for good and not for what's coming around the corner that's going to kill you. You know, a lot of times I was just joking kind of with Reynolds that I think everybody's out to get me until proven otherwise. Because he was asking if I look and talk to people at the red stoplight. And I'm like, no, they could be crazy. And he's like, wait, what? you really think that? And I'm like, kind of. I mean, they could be. That's because I have had experiences that have trained me to look for the scary thing around the corner. Well, when I journal about those things, I'm starting to change my outlook. Does that make sense? Everybody tracking with me? Okay, it's 10:40. I'm in so much trouble. The last thing I want to share with you, I'm going to share with you, journaling, I've already said, it does not have to be a legalistic, I sit down, I read a piece of, you know, I read a passage, then I journal for 4 lines about that passage in scripture, then at the end of that, I talk about, this is how it made me feel, amen, I'm done. Okay, it does not have to be that. It can be that, and that's a great thing. It can also be, I'm going to sit down every day, and I'm going to write down one thing I'm grateful for. I am very ADHD, you've probably picked up on that, and I need help. I just need a structure so that I'm not all over the place. And so when I decided I want to have a practice of gratitude in my life, it is a part of what I call a rule of life, if you've ever heard of that. I practice gratitude every day. So I bought a gratitude journal, okay? It looks like this. It's super easy. Each one of these, literally, it's this many lines, and I just write one thing I'm grateful for that day. And then the next day, I do the same thing. It takes me not even a minute. So that's one. That could be your journaling. This I also do write out in a journal every day. And so I just want to read you one of my entries so you can get an idea of, oh, okay, I can totally do that if journaling is new for you. So this was back in September. I had read Psalm 23, which is, you know, he makes me lie down and green pastures, that whole thing. And so this is what I wrote after I read that. And by the way, I would also encourage you, before you sit down to journal, to really pray. And go, Lord, what do you want me to notice today? What are you trying to get me to pay attention to? What in my interior life are you wanting me to notice? And I do that every time before I journal and before I read scripture, honestly, because I believe he highlights what's going on inside of us with the scripture that we read. It says, this last year has felt like a year of being led to rest and still waters. Looking back at the last year, I'm struck by my resistance at first to going slower. After leaving staff, not understanding or seeing God's hand leading me to still waters, I was so habituated to going fast, I didn't know how to slow down, even when I had the freedom to do so. Now, a year later, I have embraced God's leading me to lie down. I can see that he has led me to walk beside still, parentheses, not chaotic or going too fast, waters. My days are marked by slowness and intentional restfulness, mindful of him and what he's doing in my life. What a gift. I am grateful for God, my shepherd, who knew what I needed before I did and made me lie down to receive it. Praise him. I mean, Anybody can do that. Okay, that's just sharing what I reflected on from that passage. Okay, that's another thing of journaling. For some of you, you're like, this totally wigs me out. It really stresses me out because I don't write. I don't know how to write. I'm terrible with grammar of whatever. You can draw. You can make a collage of photos and reflect on your experiences for the last month in photos. Everybody lives with a camera in their hand these days. And so you're like, just take 5 minutes and sit with your phone and look at some of those pictures and just go, wow, Lord, that was such a season of joy. Thank you for what you did in my life. That can be your journal, okay? One of the things I started doing during COVID, because I was so overwhelmed and so anxious with my job, I started doing faux calligraphy. It just helped me focus. It helped me with my anxiety. And as I would do it, I would meditate on the scripture that I was lettering. And so I'm going to show you, there was a season where I did the names of God. And so I would just, this would be what I did. And for some of you, you're like, I'm not artistic. Okay, I don't want to hear that. God gave you, you were created in his image. We are all creative in some way. So it doesn't have to be the way I am, but we all are creative. And so you do you. Again, the whole goal is to connect with your interior life and to do it in the presence of the Holy Spirit, who's always with you. He's always with you. He's always at work to help you become more like him. And so give him the chance by being willing to take a look at what's going on in your interior world. So that's all I have for you today. I think, are y'all going, or do you have time to do that? Oh, okay, great. I wrote some reflection questions for you all to process and look at, and they're going to give you time to do that today. I don't know how much. How much time?
Yeah, probably 5 minutes.
5 minutes? Okay. If you have any questions, I'm here. You can come find me. It's been an honor to be with you guys today. I love getting to help people know that God cares about all of you, and he wants you to notice him at work in your life. And so I hope that if you leave with anything today, you leave with that knowledge that the Holy Spirit that is at work in you wants you to notice. He's just waiting for you to come and notice the things that he's trying to do at work in your life. So I'm going to pray for you real quick, and then you all can walk through those questions, okay? Father, thank you that you know what we need before we need it. That the idea of slowing down and reflecting was not a man-made idea. It was your idea. That Jesus modeled for us what it looks like to go slow, to connect with you, to allow your spirit to direct our choices. And so, Father, would you help every single one of us in this room walk in the steps of Jesus as we look at our lives, as we look at wanting to live a life that reflects your glory and brings you honor and is for our good. Father, thank you for each one of these souls sitting in this room that I know every single one of them is your favorite. I pray that they would believe that with their whole heart, their whole soul, and all their strength. I pray that they would see you waiting for them as you long to be sought by us. You long to be loved by us. And Lord, we are grateful. Help us become more like you and more at home in the love that you have for us. Lord, we love you, and we ask all of these things in your name by the power of your Spirit. Amen.